The next matter, number 25-1862, Prakash Doge Rana versus Todd Blanche. At this time, would counsel for the petitioner please come to the podium and introduce himself on the record to begin?
May it please the court. Stuart Altman for the petitioner Prakash Doge Rana, and I kindly request to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
You may.
Your Honors, I'm sure there's probably not many attorneys who start off their oral arguments with movie trivia, but I'm going to give it a try. And the reason why is I think it's relevant to this case. There's only one person to win the Academy Award who never acted in his life, and that person didn't have to act because he was there. The movie was The Killing Fields, and it was about the genocide in Cambodia. And Dr. Hang Ngor won the award, and obviously he didn't have to act. He had been there the whole time. Now, the reason why I mention this is if you look at the whole story of this movie, they used a lot of Cambodians for it. And a lot of them had very different stories of what happened. They had all been through a genocide, there'd been tremendous trauma, and things that affected their memories of how things had happened and the events that happened. Now, and the reason why I bring this up is in this case, there was an adverse credibility finding made against my client. Many of these issues could have been explained, which is recognized in immigration law, like under Cardozo Fonseca, my client's allowed to elaborate upon issues. But as the court sees, I didn't argue any of those issues because we don't know what the cause may be because there was not a MAMS hearing conducted in this case. A MAMS hearing is required just on the indicia of incompetency, not to show my client is incompetent, just the indicia of it. And here, there was a report submitted by Dr. Reich that clearly stated that...
What if the IJ reasonably found, reading that report, that everything up to the sentence that creates some doubt of whether he could assist his counsel in the way we think of incompetence does not support that conclusion? Because it talks about a lot of things that seem like memory issues and... But at the end, it didn't also seem like there were lots of things that suggest this wouldn't rise to the level of what would be incompetence as far as being able to help your lawyer. And yet, there's a vague sentence. The very last sentence is a vague sentence to that point. Does the IJ just have to, under your theory of a MAMS hearing, accept that vague sentence and ignore everything else that led up to it?
Well, it wouldn't be just my theory. This would be a matter of MAMS. And the IJ has
to, MAM says there needs to be indicia, and so then we're arguing about is there indicia, and I'm asking you, is your theory that if the expert puts the magic words, regardless of their analysis that led to the magic words, that's the end of it for MAM's purposes?
Yes, if the expert indicates there's an indicia of incompetency, I believe that the MAM's hearing does have to be conducted, or procedural safeguards for the person for how we can conduct the hearing.
I thought you were contesting whether the IJ made an indicia of competency finding. Am I wrong about that? I know the BIA has a statement saying there's no indicia of competency. I didn't read the IJ to reach that question. It just said that there was competency. I couldn't tell from your brief, but I thought your brief was suggesting that the IJ had not made a finding about whether or not there was an indicia of competency and instead had jumped ahead to the competency finding. Is that wrong? Or you agree? Whatever you...
So I felt, Your Honor, that the IJ used the petitioner's demeanor to overcome the petitioner's incompetency.
Okay, so as you take it, the IJ's finding did make a finding of no indicia of competency.
The IJ said I considered the report, but didn't say what they considered in the report.
I'm just asking, yes. Either the IJ, in your view, did make a finding of indicia, there's no indicia of competency, or the IJ did not make such a finding.
Did not.
The IJ did not make such a finding. Well, what follows from that, then?
What follows from that is the IJ should have either conducted a MAMS hearing and say why a MAMS hearing was not needed.
No. Yeah, so that... If there's no finding by the IJ on whether there was an indicia of competency, what are you asking us to do? The BIA says there was no indicia of competency.
Yes.
Right? No indicia of incompetence, I guess. So I'm just trying to understand what your argument is. Here's one form of an argument. The IJ is required to make a factual finding about whether there is an indicia of incompetency, one way or the other. IJ didn't do that. BIA then found there was no evidence of sufficient evidence of indicia of incompetency. BIA can't make a factual finding on its own unless the record compels it.
That's
therefore
correct.
Vacate and remand. It's not clear to me whether you're saying that in the brief. Obviously, now that I've said it, you're going to want to say, oh, yes, that's what we said. But what I'm just trying to say, what is your argument to us? Is it that the IJ made a finding of no indicia of competency, but it did it for reasons that don't hold up because it wrongly thought the credibility thing itself was sufficient to undermine that, and that's the error? I'm just trying to figure out what you're claiming the error is.
Well, twofold, Your Honor, and I'll explain. And I'm not trying to split hairs in this matter, because I am saying that the IJ didn't make a show of incompetency, but the IJ and the BIA says, I considered Dr. Reich's report.
Yes.
But there's no saying of, I considered it and the person was competent or not. So that's part of what it is, but it's not, a hair-splitting thing.
Not competent. Competence isn't the relevant thing. It's indicia of incompetence.
Correct.
And is that what you're saying, the IJ? Because the BIA does use the phrase, there was no indicia of incompetence, right?
Right, based on the IJ saying, I considered the report.
And correct. You're saying that the BIA erred in that regard because the IJ had not actually made a finding based on the report of no indicia of incompetency?
Correct.
Okay. So then what should we do, vacate and remand?
I think so, Your Honor.
For what?
For a MAMS hearing.
Why for a MAMS hearing? Why not just for a finding about whether the report does or does not manifest sufficient evidence of indicia of incompetency?
Because I think the report does show, Dr. Wright's report does show an indicia of incompetency, and if the judge has made
a finding. So you're saying the record just compels it because of that report?
Yes.
And if we disagreed with you on that, at a minimum, at least the IJ would have to make a finding on that.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask you, your client was represented by counsel, so this is not somebody who was there pro se on his own or her own. Does that make any difference? Because if there's counsel should have moved, you know, or presented perhaps more evidence or raised the issue in another manner.
Well, that was actually presented in the record, Your Honor, and I was the counsel at that time, and I was the counsel in that hearing. And one of the reasons why the judge granted the adjournment to get the medical evaluation is I had taken over the case from another person who had recently been appointed a judge. I took over hundreds of cases all at once. And while you do meet with people, especially in dealing with immigrants, there's a certain stigma to mental health, where they don't disclose things to you, and just knowing or meeting me the first time, they're not going to confide things in me. It takes a while, it takes trust, and I think the immigration judge understood that well, and I give her credit.
But after the report was submitted, you didn't ask for a MAMS hearing?
No, I thought it required a MAMS hearing, just the report alone.
What?
I thought it required a MAMS hearing, just the report alone.
But that thought was never expressed to the IJ because there was never a statement that a MAMS hearing is required, correct?
Your Honor, I never submitted anything requesting a MAMS hearing. I just thought once you show an indicia of incompetency, it's automatic.
And your position is counsel needn't nor need the petitioner ever request it as long as the record manifests enough indicia. It's on the IJ is obliged to have the MAMS hearing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that's stated in matter of MAMS.
Yeah. Can you just talk to me about the prejudice as you see it? Let's say you're right. There was an error either in not making the finding or in not holding the MAMS hearing. What was the prejudice to your client?
The prejudice to my client was this, is in these immigration cases, even if a person is not found to be incompetent, just the indicia, there are procedural safeguards put in place in each case.
And but you don't articulate what would have happened differently in this case that could have affected the outcome favorably had there been a MAMS hearing. But where in your brief do you outline what that is?
I didn't outline it, Your Honor, because
don't you have to show prejudice from not getting the MAMS hearing?
I think it's shown in the record even without that, Your Honor.
What is, will you tell me then, what does the record show with respect to what the prejudice would be?
The record shows is Dr. Wright said his ability to assist his attorney was compromised. So if he cannot fully explain.
But you don't need a MAMS hearing for that. That's just evident from the report. That's either true or not true. Your claim is that the error was not giving the hearing. What would have happened had the hearing been held that would have led to a reasonably likelihood of a different outcome?
What would have happened had the hearing been held, Your Honor, is we would have determined, one, if he was incompetent or not to be able to testify. We would have determined what, if any, procedural safeguards can we put in place to get the best testimony out of this person.
But you don't suggest any of what those might be, nor do you suggest there was any additional evidence you would have put on beyond the report.
No, Your Honor, I didn't suggest it, but once again,
Do we just presume prejudice whenever there's no MAMS hearing?
I would think so, Your Honor.
Is there case law that says that?
MAMS. MAMS says if there's an indicia of incompetency that you must have a MAMS hearing. Yeah. And there's the indicia of incompetency.
Yeah. And what else is supposed to happen? Let's assume the IJ, how would you say he would have to hold a MAMS hearing? He's got the report. He's considering the report and hear from you. And didn't he do that?
No, Your Honor, we did it, and I'll explain. I really think this is a case regarding procedural safeguards, and as Justice Barron said, maybe I should have gone through that more in my brief. And what we do is how can we get the best testimony out of this person? And that could be, that could be maybe allowing me to ask leading questions after cross to figure out the testimony. It could be, as the report said, he loses focus from time to time. He's fine at times, and he's not fine. To give him that few seconds or a minute to just recover.
Did you ask to be allowed to provide leading questions after cross, or you didn't do that below?
That is sometimes the procedural safeguards.
Okay, but did you request to do that?
No, not at that time, because I didn't know what the issue was. It didn't come up before then, Your Honor.
Because you didn't have the MAMS hearing.
Correct.
But so your idea is that if there had been a MAMS hearing, it would have maybe put the credibility determination in doubt because we don't know what the testimony would have looked like had the safeguards been in place. That's right. The basic idea.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. And there's even cases like Matter of Fefe, which say, it's not a MAMS case, but it's a case where it says, okay, we'll stipulate to certain statements and things like that in the record. And we'll give time for cross or whatever else is needed. So there were different factors which this could have been done, but the MAMS hearing needed to be conducted first.
So for comp, I mean, I guess it resonates with me slightly when you say, well, he loses focus. So, and I imagine he's getting questions in series from the IJ that lead to these inconsistencies that lead to the IJ saying you're not credible. And if there had been breaks or rests such that he could refocus, like I can follow all of that. So is that all? When we say incompetency, I guess I'm thinking of like sort of the criminal law. Are you incompetent to stand trial? Is that what we're talking about? Are we talking about he's not competent because he struggles with this focus thing and that could have been fixed if we fully embraced it? Is that, I mean, that's a cognitive issue he has. Is that enough in this framing of incompetency, or should it have to reach sort of kind of like the criminal law, you just can't, you're just unable to assist your counsel?
No, it doesn't have to reach the burden of criminal law. As a matter of fact, that's also stated in MAMS. Not only the indicia, but certain things, can you consult with your attorney properly? And I, to be very straightforward here, I don't think Mr. Reyna is incompetent. What I think needed to be in place was the procedural safeguards all along after the MAMS hearing to see what is the best way to get the testimony from him. Because, for example, Your Honor, if we said, he loses focus and attention, if we said, just take a break, take 30 seconds, see, a judge can make a negative demeanor against him saying, you're thinking about your answers. But if we understood this, then we can make the proper determination that he's not malingering answers or being evasive. He just takes a little extra time to come up with the correct answer due to the issues that he has.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, would counsel for the government please introduce herself on the record to begin?
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. My name is Patty Sklabe from DOJ Civil Division, and I'll be representing the government. Mr. Rana was represented by counsel throughout the proceeding before the immigration judge. And if I may respond to the questions by this court quickly with respect to whether or not the immigration judge had an independent obligation to essentially order a competency hearing. I'm quoting an opinion from this court in Munoz-Monsalve, which we cited in our brief from 2008, where it talks about where the petitioner is represented by counsel. Quote, in the first instance, it is the advocate's role, not the IJ's, to breach the issue of mental competence. And then it goes on to say, the failure to raise a competency issue in a timely manner renders an ensuing claim of error particularly.
Yeah, but that's in this case, the person had had a head injury and had a doctor's report saying he would have trouble assisting counsel. Was that true in that case?
That was not true in that case.
I mean, what happened in this case is... there are a bunch of questions that are leading to bad outcomes. It's clear this lawyer, I think the record's clear, had met with this person one time prior, realizes something has gone amiss, says, can I have a continuance, and then gets the report. Now, is there another hearing before the IJ after the report is issued?
I believe there is another hearing, yes.
There's another like in-person hearing?
I'm not sure if Mr. Rana testified at this hearing, but I believe counsel had an opportunity to speak with the IJ with respect to
that. Your point is at that time, they didn't ask for a further competency hearing?
That's right. That's my understanding, that at the time, the counsel did not. It was at that point, it was really about, well, to try to explain why there were discrepancies. And the counsel pointed to the report to say, well, the discrepancies could be because he's losing focus. But with respect to the report, what I will say is that
you don't disagree that under MAMS, there doesn't need to be a request.
That's right. Under MAMS, it doesn't need to be a request. But the fact that counsel didn't make the request makes the claim for error particularly weak. And that's from Munoz-Monsalve.
That was in a case in which was there any other indicia of incompetence? What was the basis for it? Because here, unlike there, it's not just counsel didn't make it, so it's very weak. It's counsel didn't make it after asking for a continuance based on somebody who had a head injury, who was demonstrating potentially that they were losing focus, then having a doctor's report saying he has cognitive issues and may have trouble assisting counsel. In that setting, since MAM says you don't have to request it, if we say even then, oh, well, he didn't request it, so it's very weak, I don't understand how that's faithful to MAM's idea that you don't have to request it.
Well, but with respect to MAMS, even MAMS itself recognizes that competency is not static, and it says an immigration judge needs to review the competency of the witness throughout the proceeding, that competency may deteriorate or it may be restored throughout the proceeding. And our position is that the immigration judge did take into account the report. She acknowledged that the respondent may lose focus.
Did she make a MAMS finding?
She did not make a MAMS finding.
Well, then how can we not vacate and remand?
But the agency did. The board,
but
when
the
it was
board
reviewing
can't
it,
make a finding unless the record compels the finding, right? Because that's a factual, isn't a factual finding whether there's an indicia of incompetency for MAM's purposes?
Well,
and
yes,
wouldn't we review that factual finding? The BIA would have to review the IJ's finding for clear error.
But what MAM says is absent an indicia of incompetency, the immigration judge doesn't have an independent obligation.
Right, so if there's an indicia of competence, then they do.
So the question, yes.
And then the question, do you agree that's a factual determination?
Yes.
And you just said the IJ made no such factual finding.
Because the argument was not made to the IJ.
But under MAMS, it doesn't have to be.
Yes, if there is sufficient evidence of indicia of incompetence.
And we don't have a finding one way or the other whether there was.
Your Honor, I want to
clarify. By the IJ, correct?
Right.
There's
but
some evidence because the report says this person can't consult with, it's doubtful they can consult with their lawyer. So there's something before the IJ that suggests it's not like an absence of information.
Right. But then the Mr. Rana's attorney then used that report to say, well, this explains why Mr. Rana's testimony was inconsistent. And the immigration judge said, I recognize that there's a report that says he may lose his focus. His focus may come in and out. But based on my observation, he was focused, he was attentive, and that.
But that's not a MAM's finding.
But Your Honor, under that theory, essentially every immigration judge would have to make an indicia of competency, whether or not it's raised by
whenever them. There is sufficient indicia of it.
Right. And we would maintain that there isn't sufficient indicia of incompetency. Because
even
that's
though
a
an expert said in his opinion these facts suggest that the problem is there. That,
yes.
That triggers.
Right. Right. We would maintain that the singular sentence at the end of the report that says this is going to compromise, that that's not an indicia of competency.
That's the issue. It's not that they would have to find a MAMS hearing. They have to make a finding that there is no such indicia. The BIA made the finding, right?
Because the argument was raised to the BIA. But I think, just to be clear, petitioner's position, as I understand it, is that just because the report says that this compromises his ability to assist his counsel, that is sufficient indicia of competency.
Correct. And, if the IJ disagrees, the IJ can make a finding disagreeing with that.
But we
The question is, when does the IJ have to make a finding on that?
Yeah, so we would disagree that just because there's a report that at the end of it, it says his attention span comes in and out, that that's sufficient indicia of incompetency.
Suppose the IJ had found, based on that report, there was sufficient indicia. Do you think that would be clearly erroneous?
Well, I'm hesitant to answer that question.
Well, you don't really have an option. Because the BIA, if it's clearly erroneous, then the BIA's ruling that there is no indicia controls, and fine, no problem with the record. But if the BIA could not find that that was clear error on this record, then we have a problem that all we have is the BIA's determination on that factual question and no ruling by the IJ.
But the BIA's determination is supported by sufficient evidence.
The question is whether it would be clear error for the IJ to have come out the other way. Because that's how the BIA, under its own regulations, would have to review that finding.
The BIA, in the first instance, cannot make factual findings, and it's error than if it does so. And so what they say in their order is, based on the foregoing, and then here's, and lack of indicia of incompetency. So they have made a determination that there's a lack of indicia of incompetency. And it seems like you agree that is a factual determination, point one. You agree with that?
Yes, based
point
on the
two,
record.
The IJ did not make that finding, point two. Point three, there's some evidence in the record, even if weak, that goes in favor of it. So I guess the question is, can you affirm based on what I just read to you when the IJ didn't make the factual finding in the first instance? I think that is the question.
Well, yes, we think the court can affirm because this again goes back to how much is required for indicia of incompetency for the sort of light bulb to go off. And again, the attorney here didn't make
but the
this
words
is,
are in the report. He can't help his lawyer.
Right.
It seems like magic word. Now, maybe they're not supported by the rest of the analysis, but somebody has to decide that. And the way we've divided up authority is the IJ has to decide that. And they did not.
Yes. But MAM explains that this is like a holistic analysis, that it's not enough for just one thing in isolation to trigger indicia of competency and then the immigration.
I'll ask you one last time. If the IJ had ruled here that this was sufficient to trigger a MAMS hearing, would that have been clear error such that the BIA would have been compelled to reverse that ruling?
Based solely on the report?
Based on the report, what had happened at trial, in the proceeding, and the fact that he, in fact, had been hit on the head and suffered a head injury.
Yes, because we would maintain that the record shows that he's clearly not competent.
And what's your best case for saying that under existing BIA precedent, a finding of an indicia of competence on this record would have been clear error?
I don't know if I have a cite for that particular proposition, but what I'll note is in Munoz-Monsalve, the petitioner there, the problem was and I'm quoting, the petitioner stumbled over his answers and that his statements overall were inconsistent with those given during prior interviews. Exactly what happened here. And the court said this wasn't enough to just require the IJ.
Had there been evidence of a head injury there?
I'm not sure if there was evidence of.
Was there a doctor's report saying he couldn't assist counsel?
But no. But the doctor's report in our case, the psychologist's report in our case, didn't talk about the head injury as having caused some sort of a severe memory problem. It just talked about an attention span problem, and we would maintain that that is a far cry from the type of cases where there's an indicia of incompetency. I mean, in those cases, and MAMS talks about this because it references, if I may finish. It references the criminal context and the due process context. We're really talking about scenarios in which the petitioner or the defendant has no idea what's going on. They're hallucinating. They don't know what the role of the judge is.
Let me ask you, counsel. Yeah. I was a district judge for 15 years. And had I had this report, and let's say this was a change of plea hearing or a sentencing, or I have this report submitted by counsel, I would not take that change of plea right away. I'd probably continue, where I'm sentencing somebody, maybe, you know, I need to hold some sort of hearing to figure out. And it happened more than a few times. That's, of course, you mentioned criminal cases, but shouldn't that also be what's applied here? And that's basically what a MAMS hearing is, what a judge would do in a criminal case when something like this happens.
Well, what I'll note is that this particular case, the evaluation of the witness in the context of the report is particularly deferential to the immigration judge that reviewed not just the responses, but also the mannerisms, the demeanor.
Let me put it in the context. I'm saying if I'm a district judge and I have and counsel submits this report and I'm going to take a change of plea or sentence somebody, I can't simply say, well, I find them to be, you know, the demeanor XYZ makes some findings. There is that information. I need to hold some sort of hearing or you know, at least give some process there. And isn't that's what lacking? Again, in a criminal case, if I took the change of plea or sentence with this report and counsel saying, look, I have this report, I'd be reversed, you know, in 3 seconds.
Well, we would maintain that the immigration judge decided not to based on, again, her observation of the witness's testimony, the credibility, and the fact that the report wasn't even conclusive on the issue of the attention span problem. And we think that that requires great deference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, would counsel for the petitioner please reintroduce himself on the record? He has a 2-minute rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honor. Stuart Altman for rebuttal. Your Honor, just to address the last issue, counsel said the report wasn't conclusive. This wasn't a contrived ending. Your Honor, as Your Honors could see through the report, there are multiple times where he's answering the questions fine, and there's multiple times where he's completely inattentive. One of those examples was when the doctor was asking him, what's the difference between a couch and a chair? And he just kept answering chair 4 times to the same question. There were other instances throughout the report. So Dr. Rice has a conclusion. His conclusion was based on all the questions that he asked him in this matter, which supported that he does have substantial issues with focus and due to this would be compromised. Furthermore, Your Honor, once again, as MAM says on number 3 of MAM, the immigration must make further inquiry. That was not done here.
So that's kind of, you agree with that, be similar to my analogy to me taking a change of plea, stop the proceedings, got to do something else. You just can't simply rely on some questions I'm posing as a judge, correct?
Correct. Yes, it must make, and that's stated in MAMS. And furthermore,
do you know how this played out? So it doesn't seem to me that his lawyer, who didn't know him that well, thought at the time that the hearing ending that this is going to have some kind of incompetency ring. I think they were trying to figure out, is there an argument here to explain his inconsistent answers? And the judge who's not thinking he's being very consistent agrees to let there be some kind of evaluation about that. The evaluation happens and the doctor does say, in the end, his ability to assist his own attorney in the immigration court is thus compromised. What happens after that? That is submitted. What process happens after that?
Your Honor, the process happens after that is it's just giving inconsistent answers alone is nothing.
No, I mean the process. What happened? Mm. This is submitted. Does the IJ just take this piece of paper and go back and then write their opinion and say whatever they want about this document? Is there a hearing where there's a debate?
I believe the IJ is required to conduct the
meeting. Did happen?
What happened?
What in fact happened after the report came in?
Nothing. The IJ just issued a decision. That was it. Nothing happened. And I'm sorry, just to address the beginning of your question, it wasn't just inconsistent answers that triggered the report. It was the way he was behaving in the courtroom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. That concludes argument in this case.
Thank you, Your Honor.